We want to thank you for listening today. This audio sermon is a ministry of Faith Baptist Church, a place where you belong. Now let's listen as Pastor Todd Adams brings a message of truth from God's Word.
Got done singing and I thought, man, who's preaching after that? And Chad was praying and I was like, you're up, man. Whew. It was powerful, wasn't it? The great I am. Amen. This is his day. There's one day a week, and we're going to learn about that, that we set aside and we say, Lord, you are to be worshipped on your day. Amen. Is it me, or have you all noticed that there is just this incessant hurry and rushing around and busyness and this idea of do more and go more and get more and have more and be more at such a rapid rate? Is it me, or have you all noticed that as well? We go to bed tired, we wake up exhausted. It seems that we have more gadgets to save us time, but it seems we are always running behind the time. Rush, hurry, worry, anxiety. We live in a society that has never had so much, but we seem to be so dissatisfied with what we do have. Let's do a generational poll. How many of you are 60 plus? Raise your hands. Okay. You keep them up. Wait, I know you're tired. Hold on. 70 plus. All right. If you're 70 plus, I'm going to speak to you for just a minute. You can put your hands down. Some of this message is going to resonate hard with you because you remember what Sundays used to be like. How many of you, 70 plus, hold your hands. Hold your hands back up. That's all the exercise you'll get, all right? I know. Okay. In church. Some of you are awesome. I know some of you could outwork most of the 20-year-olds in here. I know that. Okay. You can put them down. Okay. Some of what I'm going to say will speak your lingo. Because you will remember way back in the day, 60, 70 plus, you will remember how Sundays used to be. Now, that's not to say that we're all wrong for how we're doing Sundays today, okay? That doesn't mean that. But what we're going to see, I mean, friends, let's think about it. Are you ever just tired of thinking about all you have to do? Just start thinking like, man, I got to do this, and I got to do this, and I got to do this. And you're so tired, you got to take a nap from thinking about all of the thinking that you've been thinking about. And then most of us feel guilty after we've taken our nap. We're like, oh, I got to take a rest. I'm tired, but I got so much to do. And I got to do. If we relax, there seems to be this compulsion to keep going. It's like, you know, you just can't catch up. Have you ever feel like you're chasing your tail? You know, you're like, oh, never going to get this done. It's a never-ending project. And I think in all of this hurrying around and rushing and going and getting it done, we've missed God. I love A.W. Tozer. Here's what he said. God has not bowed to our nervous haste nor embraced the methods of our machine age. The man who would know God must give time to him. Must give time to him. I have found this to be true in the lives of everybody I have ever met. We all make time for what we want to do. We all make time for something. If we deem it important, we will somehow carve out the time to do it. And here's the point. In order to manage your time, you need to surrender your life to the eternal and everlasting God. If you want to manage the time that God has given you, we're going to see here in a little bit, it's not just about time. Where's all my seniors? It's about energy too. Amen? I was talking to a construction worker during the renovation of our building, and he was a young guy, and he said, you know, when I was first in construction, he said, I would show up, he said, and all the old guys were here. And they'd be having their coffee and talking and having their sandwiches and having a smoke break. He said, and we'd get here and we'd get out of the truck and we'd just start working. We're like, man, these guys, he said, and I tell you, Pastor, he said, by the end of the day, they had done twice as much work and taken twice the amount of breaks as us young guys. He said, I got so infuriated and frustrated by this, I finally went to one of these older guys and said, listen, how's this work? He said, you don't know how to manage your energy. You're working harder, but you ain't working smarter. Ain't no school like the old school. Amen? Speaking of old school, you know what Moses said? Moses said, teach us to number our days so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom. This fourth commandment is one of priority, one of setting aside time, prioritizing that which is very, very important. The importance of worship and rest. Everybody say that with me. Worship and rest. One more time. Worship and rest. This is God's remedy for restless souls. So if you're with me in Exodus chapter 20, would you say amen? Verse 8. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days you shall labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou, nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, thy manservant, nor thy cattle, nor the stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea, and all that in them is. Notice what he did. And say it. He rested the seventh day. Wherefore, the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. As a reminder, again, we need to be reminded, the first four commandments deal with the worship of God. We're still in the worship context, okay? The worship context. These four commandments, the first four, are all vertical. They are all Godward. And as I've said before, you get the vertical right, you'll get the horizontal straightened out. You get this relationship on par, and all these relationships that you have, they start to come together, all right? And so God has already laid down the foundational elements of worship, not making any other gods, not taking His name in vain, as we learned last week. And now He says, now you need a day of rest. This fourth commandment deals with regular worship and rest. It is the longest commandment. God says the most about it. I mean, you're like, well, how do you know it's the longest? Well, for example, look at verse 13. Thou shalt not kill. All right, so let's talk about thou shalt not kill. Any questions on what thou shalt not kill means? I didn't think so. Okay, let's look at one other one. Thou shalt not commit adultery. How clear is that? Hello? You're like, well, under one? No. Like, there's no stipulation, right? Okay. This commandment is given commentators and Bible scholars and pastors, including this one, fits, because it's the only commandment not mentioned in the New Testament. Every other one is talked about or referenced. And so it's not an easy one to go down on. Many of us are like, well, I was always raised this way. And so to my seniors and super seniors and super duper seniors and those of you in extra overtime, okay? The initial problem comes in with terminology. Now, I'm not a guy who likes to be blindsided. And so let me tell you what we're going to do. This sermon is going to be extremely theological and deep for the first half of my message. And then I'm going to get real practical and then we're going to end, okay? So You really need to kind of think and pray and listen. As Pastor Chad said, we've worshiped. Now we need the Word of God to transcend into our life. Amen? We need to hear the truth, because there's some transformational truth about this commandment that, listen, right here, this guy, your pastor, I had to go back and readjust some thinking in my own heart and realize if I've ever truly blew it, just totally blew it on any of these commandments, I mean, it's good to know your pastor didn't kill. Can I get a witness? Okay. Right? Okay. It's this one. I am not good at taking a rest. I am not. It's hard for me. And so I've had to go back and really unearth this. I've shared this week with some of the members, some of my dear friends here in the church that I commune with and converse with about this passage. Because there's some confusion sometimes on it. It comes in on the terminology. We hear the word Sabbath, the Sabbath day. Now, this was a day on the Jewish calendar that began Friday night at sundown, all right? And it ended Saturday night at sundown. And God set it up this way in the Bible. It was a specific day set aside by God for His people to, say it, rest. To rest. This is what the whole day was designed for. This was the primary purpose. Yes, it's in the context of worship, but God's not being directive and specific saying, worship me only on this day, because we're to worship God how many days? Okay, so we understand that the context is worship, but we also understand the context here, the specific command, is to take a day of rest. In fact, the word Sabbath means rest. The Hebrew terminology would be cessation, to take a break from, to pause. Now, when you go through the Scriptures, there are what most theologians would call three primary rests that you find in the Scriptures. I want to walk us through them to help us get a really good theological panoramic view of what God is talking about. So if you're with me still, say amen. Let's talk about the first one. The first one is called creation rest. So God created the world, and after He created the world, what did He do? He rested. And some of you are like, well, is that because God's tired? No. The Bible says He doesn't grow weary. Amen? Aren't you glad you didn't get down on your knees this morning and you're like, Lord, and He's like, I'm tired. I'm tired of your whining. You know who you are? Later, I'm busy. No, He doesn't get tired. You say, well, why did He rest? The word rest implies to enjoy. Now, I know some of us in here, us stiff upper lip Baptists, we hear the word enjoy and we're like, sin. I know this will shock some of you, as it did me. Read your Bible. God is very much into enjoyment of the right thing. Enjoyment of the right thing. Not entertainment. Okay, I think entertainment is the devil's substitution for joy. Not amusement. We are in danger in this society of amusing ourselves to death. No, God's not into amusement or entertainment, but He's into enjoyment. When He saw what He had done, He said, it wasn't just good, He said, it's very good. And He rested. To rest means to reflect. When our musicians are playing, and you look at the music, if you can read music, which I cannot, but thank God for my wife who's helped me a little. I'm not a good student. Somebody said, did your wife teach you piano? I said, we had one lesson one day for 1 hour. I thought my marriage was more important than music, and so we terminated the music lessons. But in music, there is what's called a measure of rest. Is that because musicians get tired sometimes? But no, that's not why it's written that way. It's because when there's a measure of rest, the purpose is to pause and reflect on what was just played. That's why when you read the Psalms, sometimes you see a word called Selah. Means, read that again. Listen to that again. Or as Dr. John Phillips, the great Welsh commentator, would say, well, what do you think of that? Okay. And so when God rested, what He was doing was He was admiring and enjoying and saying, what a creation I have made. And isn't God's creation marvelous? Okay. And He blessed that day and He set it apart. Now, here's key. Don't lose this. He stopped working on creation. He was done. But He is always working in creation. You get that? He's always working in creation. Colossians says He holds it all together. Amen. He keeps it all spinning. He keeps everything working. Everybody take a deep breath. Now all of everybody say, thank you, God. Okay, He did that for you. Amen? That's God. That's God doing that. And then God put two people in the garden, Adam and Eve. And there was fellowship. There was enjoyment. So what caused God to go back to work again after he rested? One word, three letters. Sin. God had to go back to work. All right, I got to establish prophets. I got to establish judges. I got to go back. I got to sacrifice. I got to go back to work. That's why, write this down. Sin ruins rest. Sin ruins rest. This explains why people are always weary and worn out. Our bodies weren't designed to hold the capacity to sin. That's why when you lie, you make facial expressions that you don't even know. You do twitches. You get nervous. You start sweating. You start blinking your eyes. You start to do things. You don't even realize. You weren't made to lie. By the way, we're going to talk about thou shalt not lie. Bear false witness. Some of you are like, yeah, I'll be absent that week. I feel a headache coming on. Sin ruins rest. Our bodies were not designed to be overworked and to overeat and overindulge. And over everything. And so then we just feel all of this fatigue. Sin ruins rest. The second rest is what we would call covenant rest. This was a rest that we find ourselves now at here in Exodus. God making reference to Moses of the very thing I just mentioned in verse 11. In 6 days, God is referring Moses back to that time. A rest now, he says, that is a covenantal rest for the people of God. He's saying, listen, take a break. It was time for them to reflect and rejoice and rest in what God had done in delivering them from the oppressors. You see, when the children of Israel was in Egypt, and if you're a workaholic, listen up. They worked 7 days nonstop. It was killing them. The Bible says they were taskmasters to them. And God's like, that's enough. Work 6 days and take a rest. What a good gift from a good God. Amen. Take one day and don't do anything. Now, the Pharisees came along and some priests came along and they manipulated that and they added 39 more things you couldn't do and they messed with everything that God intended for that day. We're going to see this in a minute. And Jesus completely rebukes their theology for this. And the essence of what God is saying is take a break. Don't do work on the Sabbath. God is saying, stop. Slow down. Don't keep pushing and pressing. Take some rest. Some of us actually think that life depends on us. And if we stop and if we, you know what you have? It's called the Messiah complex. And if I don't show up and if I don't turn up and if I don't do it and if I don't say it and if I don't work, it's never going to get done. Did you know that if you took a break, the world would keep right on spinning? He is the sustainer. Resting in God gives way to worship. And now, write this down. Rest was given to God's people as a gift. This is a gift. God is saying, take a day. Rest. Enjoy me. Worship me. Know me. Are you with me so far? All right, we got one more rest. This is the final rest that we know in Scripture. We would call it Calvary's rest. Calvary's rest. This is the rest that believers enter into at salvation. Jesus cried on the cross. He said a phrase. Everybody say it with me when you know what I'm going to say. As soon as you start to pick it up, say it with me. It is finished. Now, put yourself as a disciple. You hear those words. You think it's finished. In your mind, you're not thinking finished as in sin is done and been paid for. You're thinking it's what? Over. That's why they all went about their business and Jesus laid in the grave for 3 days. And early in the morning on the first day of the week, here come the sisters and they come to the grave and they're like, "Whoa, his body's gone." And an angel's like, "What are you doing looking for him here? Don't you remember the words?" And they went back and told the disciples. And you remember doubting Thomas? He's like, "Yeah, I don't believe it." And Jesus shows up into one of the rooms and he's like, "Hey, Thomas." And Thomas says, "My Lord and my God." It is finished. Jesus paid the penalty for our sin. He rose from the grave on Sunday, and He sat down at the right hand of the throne of God. Work done forever. Amen? Hebrews 4:9 says, "There remaineth therefore a rest to the people of God." What is He talking about? "For he that has entered into his rest, he also hath ceased from his own works, as God did from his." You see, write this down. True rest is only found in the person of Jesus Christ. This is why some of us are so wound up tight today. We're not resting in the finished work of Jesus. So as believers, we are in a new covenant. Do we all understand that this morning? Aren't you glad that we are not under the old covenant of law? Amen? Okay, we're in a new covenant. And so in this new covenant, we do not celebrate the Sabbath as the Jews did, but rather we celebrate and worship the Lord on the Lord's Day, the first day of the week, because Jesus has now fulfilled the requirement that the law had. Because after all, who in here could have ever fulfilled that requirement? There was one perfect man, the Son of God. Amen? And God said He is to be the one that we find our rest in. We have a different Sabbath. We have the Lord's Day. Sunday is not, listen, it is not the last day of the weekend. It's the first day of the week. Amen? Like, oh, Monday. Oh, Sunday! Amen? You come into Monday all down. Maybe you missed your Sunday. Maybe you missed your worship, and that's why you're a wreck come Monday. Now, the danger is that we practice transfer theology, and we try and equate all of the laws and all of the rituals and all of the things that used to be required on the Sabbath on the Lord's Day. There's no scriptural evidence for this anywhere. In fact, Paul told the church in Romans chapter 14 and in Colossians chapter 2, he told the people, you're free to observe special days and times that you want to set aside. How many of you have ever celebrated something before? Can I see your hands? Right. Paul said, that's fine to do that. That's fine if you want to have a special day set aside. But don't bind your preferences to the conscience of others. Don't attach them to the church. That's religion. That's legalism. And so Jesus is walking one day, and He's got His disciples, and they sit down to eat, and they didn't wash their hands properly. Who's ever not done that, right? And there was all these rituals, and you had to wash your hands properly. Jesus walked far on the Sabbath day, which was a big no-no. Jesus healed people on the Sabbath day. You remember the many of the stories? They would come, and the Pharisees were like, so, is it lawful to heal on the Sabbath day? And see, this is what the law does. The law puts you in the weirdest predicaments. The law places you in things that would never normally have you think where the Spirit would lead you. And every time something like this happened, whether Jesus walked or He ate or He healed, He would do something that would drive the religious leaders nuts. And so finally, it all came to a boiling head one day. And Jesus is with His disciples, and they haven't obeyed all of these man-made laws that were attached to this. And Jesus says, and He said unto them, the Sabbath was made for man, not man for the Sabbath. Woo! And He says, oh, and by the way, boys, the Son of Man is Lord also of the Sabbath. You guys catch what He just said? I'm to be worshipped. Jesus was reminding them that this day was given to them by God as a gift to be enjoyed, a day of rest, a day of worship. And by the way, I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. You boys don't make the rules around here. My dad does, and you're ruining this day for everybody. This was to be a day of rest. You've made it a day of religion, and it's miserable for people. And that's why Jesus said in Matthew, come unto me, all you that labor and are, and I will give you, everybody say it, I will give you, take my yoke upon you, learn of me, I'm meek and lowly in heart, you shall find rest unto your souls. My yoke is easy, my burden is light. And so many of the restrictions on Sundays came from the transfer theology mentality of many of the Puritans. and take it from a guy who lived in England for a very, very long time. Sunday, for the longest time in England, was an absolute day of drudgery and misery. I was reading about the story of one pastor who had a church on the other side of a pond, and it was deemed that he wasn't allowed to walk certain distances because it was the Lord's Day, and you shouldn't exercise on the Lord's Day. And so his only way across the pond in the winter was to put on a pair of ice skates and skate across the pond. So he went to the elders of his church and he said, "Listen, I've got to get to my other parish. They're across the pond. What am I supposed to do? The only way for me to do it is to ice skate across." And they said, "No, you can't do that. That's exercising. And you're going to have fun if you do that." He said, "Well, can you tell me what I'm supposed to do?" And they had a meeting. Churches meet about the silliest things. You know that? They had a meeting. Oh, and they came back and they were like, "Okay, we've deemed it okay for you to ice skate across the pond to your other parish as long as you have no fun while you're doing it." And so, I remember in England on Sundays for years when I was a younger man and even when our boys were first born, nothing was open on Sunday. Nothing. You better hope you filled your car up with gas. Have you know what I mean when I say nothing was open? Not only was nothing open, nothing was on TV. Back then, they only had four channels. I used to ask my dad, "Can we watch TV?" He'd go, "One, no, that's not. Two, that's stupid. Three, that's the news. Four, I don't know what that is. Nope, there's nothing on." He'd turn it off. Sundays was a day when families would gather around a big table and have a roast together. And Yorkshire pudding, I don't know if you've ever heard of that, and they would have mashed potatoes and gravy and corn and stuffing and all kinds of... Are you hungry? Okay, this was Sunday in England. People would go for walks. They would sing hymns. They didn't have church Sunday night. I know some of you are like, "Oh, Lord Jesus, help us." They didn't have church Sunday night, okay? Instead, they spent time with their family. There's a novel idea. They would spend time with their family. Sometimes they would sing hymns in the evening. Now, keep in mind, all right, keep in mind, it's probably a good idea for you and I to just not do some things on Sunday. I know some of you don't like that, but that's the truth. There's just some things that, for me, I wouldn't put this on you. I'm not asking you, and I'm not even going to tell you what I don't do or do on a Sunday. But there are some things I just won't do on a Sunday. I just won't. We get six other days to figure it out. I don't need to do it on his day. I think Sunday is a day that we have allowed the world to hijack. There's things on Sundays that I do purposely because I want God to be the center focus of my life all day long. And to be honest with you, sometimes I fail at that. And I tell you, when I fail the worst is when football season's on. Confession's good for the soul. And there's some Sundays it's like, you know, I don't need to turn that thing on. Amen? Who cares about the score? Amen? Some of you ladies ought to be clapping right now. You're like, "Man, that's good preaching." So, real quick now, two quick ideas, two quick thoughts. Let's tie this together. We're like, well, what do we do? How do we keep the Sabbath day holy? I understand we worship on the Lord's Day. How does this work today? You guys wondering that? I am too. Number one, worship the Lord on His day. And all of God's people said? Amen. It's called the Lord's Day for a reason. God's like, get it done in 6 days. And then there's one day, the first day of the week. That's the day you come together as a church, as a body, and worship me. It's not your family day. People say, "Oh, Sunday's our family day." Wrong. Sunday's not your family day. That's the Lord's day. So we don't like to hear that, do we? Sunday's not fun day. It's not beach day. It's His day. I never woke up growing up after my parents got saved. I never got up on a Sunday and thought, "Are we going to church?" I asked my dad one time, "Are we going to church?" He said, "Todd, are you sick?" I said, "No." He goes, "Well, you should never ask me that again." We set time aside to worship Him and serve Him. That's not to say you don't enjoy your family on this day. You spend some time with your family. That's fine. But it's His day. He's to be first. Amen? It's his day. It's not to say you don't meet around the dinner table and talk and share. It's not to say you can't have fun on a Sunday. I have lots of fun every Sunday. Listen, we can agree to disagree without being disagreeable on some things. But Scripture is really clear that the first day of the week, Sunday, is set aside to worship the Lord. And not just because of one thing that happened, but let me give you 8 quick reasons. Ready? They're not coming on the screen, and they're going to be quick, so if you want them, you're going to have to write them fast, all right? Jesus rose from the dead on the first day of the week. Amen? Jesus met with his disciples on the first day of the week after the resurrection. The disciples were commissioned to preach the gospel on the first day of the week. The Holy Spirit was imparted to the disciples on the first day of the week. The church experienced Pentecost on the first day of the week. The Lord spoke to John out of the book of Revelation when he began to pen it on the first day of the week. John said, "I was in the Spirit on the Lord's day, and I heard behind me a great voice as of a trumpet." The church regularly met on the first day of the week. I got to read this passage because I like it. "And upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow." Here's the part I like. "And he continued his speech until midnight." Awesome. Number 8, the church collected the offerings upon the first day of the week. How many of you understand that the first day of the week is significant? This is the first day of the week. This is the day we've set aside. This is the day we've said, "Lord, this is your day. We're coming together. We're your people. Write this down. Do things on the Lord's day that refresh your spirit." Do things. I understand that sometimes on a Sunday, out of necessity, some of you have to work. God love your heart. I get that. This isn't what we're talking. Don't misconstrue what's being spoken here. Don't get upset about that. Does the Lord know if you have to work on a Sunday? Yes or no?
Yes.
Yeah. But does the Lord also know you can take some time and meet with Him? Yes or no?
Yes.
Okay. I think today, Sunday's being sacrificed by so many things. Sports and shopping and entertainment. And sadly, many Christians have bought the lie that you can worship God on the soccer field or in the shopping mall or at the track meet or in the locker room or at the tournament. Just have a little prayer. Invite Pastor Hummerdinger over, you know. Pastor Hummerdinger is going to come pray a prayer. Voila, we had church. No, you didn't. You didn't meet to have church. You met to kick a ball. What do we tell the world when we sacrifice Sunday? What do we tell our kids? No, worship God's not important. The priority of coming to God's house is demeaned. Is it any wonder our kids grow up disconnected from the things of God and then as adults find that going to church and worshiping God is not a priority? God set it up so that we would hit the reset button once a week. And so that we would come together with a body of believers so that we would worship Him and the Word would be open and we would sing and serve. You know what I think should happen every Sunday? Number one, we should look up and praise God every Sunday. Praise God. And then look in and see what needs to be addressed. Do some soul searching. God, what are you saying to me today? And then look back over last week and go, you know what? I want to do some things different this week. I want to do some things better this week. And then look around and say, who can I serve? And by the way, I'm so grateful for the many servants who on Sunday, who sometimes it's their only day off, they come here to Faith Baptist Church. They worship. And you know what else they do? They serve. They have your little blessings in the nursery and in Sunday school. We have great Sunday school teachers. We have life group leaders. We have folks in the parking lot. We've got people serving around here on a Sunday who are saying, you know what, God, you're so important that even though I've worked all week, I'm only going to get one day to really have off, but I want to come worship you. And even in worshiping you, I still want to serve you. Thankful for those folks. Aren't you friends? Amen. There's one thing that England taught me. I walked into many, many churches in England and I thought, man, they are having a funeral in here. Sundays ought to be a happy day. I know Sundays can be rough. You got to get the kids up and get cereal shoved down their throat and get them in the van and come on, we're going to worship, you know. And you get into church. Hey, right? I get that. Our kids ought to wake up saying, we're going to church today. Isn't it? How many of you ever had this? Hey, all for honesty in church. You ever had this? You get up on a Sunday and you're like, ugh. And your kids are like, we're going to church, right? And you're like, yeah. Okay. Friends, Sunday is a celebration. It's Resurrection Sunday. Every Sunday. Amen? He's alive. He's risen from the dead. Take the day. Replenish your soul. Take it and rest. Take the day. Rejoice. It's a day of gladness and not gloom. A day of love and not legalism. People say, well, can I do this on Sunday? 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 You're asking the wrong person. Ask him. It's his day. Amen? We need a day to get out of the fog of this world and observe the bright lights of the glory world. We need a day to get away from the voice of others and hear the voice of God. And we need a day. We need a day. Get away from the noise and the clatter and the chatter of the business world and hear the sweet songs of praise to our Lord God. Amen? So like this morning, we're all singing, Great, Great I Am, you know? Like that just sets you up for the whole week, doesn't it? You're like, oh man, that was great. Some of you are like, I'm going to sneak back in for the second service just to do that again. Worship happens on Sunday. Yes. He said, we're supposed to worship every day. Yes, but there's a specific. We're supposed to pray every day. I get it. But there's a specific calling of a time to pray. Sunday is a special day. And let me just wind it out quickly now with this last thought. Set aside regular time for rest. Take a break. Some of us are afraid to rest because we might hear the voice of God. I just stay busy so I can just tune God out. Did you know God can speak through your chaos too? And sometimes the way He does that is He brings a calamity into your chaos. We like to hurry and the hustle because it hammers out and drowns out the still small voice of God. And God is trying to speak to our starving soul. And He's saying, stop, take a break. Come commune with me. Listen, some of you, if you don't take a break, you're going to break. When I was in England, I had a situation where I was working, I was in the church, I was serving, and I was end over end, I just no rest, and finally I started to have some health problems. And one night I felt my chest tightening up, and I felt numbness and tingling in my arm, and I broke out in a sweat, and Angela took me to the emergency room, and the doctor came in, and they EKG'd me and did all this other stuff, and everyone left the room, and Angela had stepped out for a second, and this doctor walked back in, and he looked at me, and he said, "What's your line of work?" I said, I'm a pastor. He goes, you guys. And he set the clipboard down. He goes, your church will survive without you. He said, Todd, listen to me. If you don't take 3 weeks off, you're going to go to an early grave. Do you hear what I'm telling you? I said, yes, sir. He goes, go home and take some time off and quit stressing out. He goes, you're fine. He goes, but if you don't stop, some of you, if you don't come apart and rest, you're going to come apart. They say if you're burning the candle at both ends, you're not very bright. Write this down. Rest is about energy renewal and time management. Energy renewal and time management. We only have so much energy. Amen? We only have so much. You know, when Jesus was here and He limited Himself by putting Himself in a human body, there was one time where there was crowds gathered around Him. Somebody touched Him and Jesus said, who touched me? And they're like, you see all the people? He's like, no, something went out of me. Here's what He's saying. I gave of Myself. Here's what Jesus was saying. I just expelled energy. I expelled something from Myself. Healing went out of me. And for some of us, some things don't take much energy, but they take a lot of time. And some things take just a little bit of time, but require a lot of energy. How many of you know what I'm talking about? And so Moses said, teach us to number our days so that we apply our hearts to wisdom. Teach us, Lord, to number our days. Weigh them out. Know something. Some of us need to hear this. You only have so much time. You better find out what's important. What's really... Your kids are going to grow up. You know that, right? So you're like, oh, hurry up. Yeah. You say that now. You say that now. You only have so much time. Moses said, Lord, teach us. Teach us how to figure this calendar out so that we can apply our hearts to wisdom, to use our energy for that which will last and make an impact for eternity. Some of us are so exhausted, not because we don't get enough sleep, but because we haven't replenished ourselves with the right amount of energy. We can't shut our minds off. We go to bed exhausted. We wake up spent. We live exhausted lives and we have a feeling of emptiness and we try and stuff our lives with other things and we think the answer to energy is another energy drink or some chocolate or some coffee and it just end over end over end over end. And what you're missing is the worship of God and some rest. Some rest. My former pastor, Pastor Dan, when I was on staff at Crossroads in Daytona Beach, he used to say a phrase to me. Has anybody ever said a phrase to you and it annoyed the daylights out of you? Like, would you shut up with that? He used to say this to me. Something would happen and I'd react and he'd put his arm around me and say, Todd, relax in Christ. Get off me, man. Tell me how to relax. We were doing something one day and he said, hey, relax in Christ. Last time he said it to me, I'll never forget it. I was trying to make a pot of coffee and something happened and didn't get the filter thing in right. I don't know. Something didn't go right and the thing was spitting out the top and I think it was possessed with a demon. I don't know. And I was, stuff's flying. I pulled the plug out. I'm cleaning it up. And I didn't know, but he was standing behind me. He comes up behind me. He goes, Todd. I knew what he was going to say. He's like, you need to relax in Christ. I'm like, Dan, why do you say that to me? So when I was in Africa with Compassion International, I met a guy. I have his picture. His name is Todd Clayton. There he is, my buddy. Epic beard. I have beard envy right now. Chad, that's a beard right there. Todd was from a very, very, very large multi-site church. He is the worship leader at this church. He is and was perhaps the most laid-back, relaxed worship pastor I have ever met in my life. Like, put it this way, I'm on this end, he's on that end of being relaxed. We just really connected. We both had a lot of interests that were the same. If you heard him sing, if you closed your eyes, you would think it was David Crowder, if anybody knows who that is. Phenomenal voice. And just loved people. So we go out to this village somewhere, and there's this child center, and there's hundreds and hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of African children in this center. And they're singing and clapping. I showed you some of the video of that. And all of a sudden, they said, we need a couple pastors to come up here on the platform. And I was like, oh, Lord, not me. And here comes Todd. He comes rolling up there. And they're like, we need somebody here, one of you pastors, to lead us in a worship song. Todd stands up. He gets up onto the platform. And he's like, hey, guys. He's like, how many of you know This Little Light of Mine? And I'm thinking, they don't know that song. And all the kids are like, yeah! They'll hold their... And he just starts singing. Sing it with me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. That's how he starts doing it, all westernized, you know. And, of course, they're in Africa, so they're clapping with one finger up, you know. And I'm like, this is crazy. And he's singing this little light of mine. And these kids, and everyone's having a blast, and they're worshiping. And he goes back, and he sits down. And later that night at the hotel, I was like, dude. I said, what was that? I said, how nervous were you? He's like, oh, Todd, it was fun. I said, fun? I said, man, I would have been a nervous wreck. And he's like, yeah, you got to relax in Christ, man. I was like, God knows. Amen. And he proceeded to talk to me about how being a worship leader has taught him that he's got to stop being so self-conscious and worried about what everybody's thinking or saying or looking at him. He said, and I got to realize I just got to get up there and lead people to worship God. And he's like, and when that happens, he's like, it's pretty amazing. As he strokes his glorious beard. You know why some of us can't rest? Because we haven't worshiped. You can't rest because you don't worship. You can take a vacation, you can hang out, you can take a pill, you can knock some liquor back, whatever, it's fine, whatever you think. But let me tell you, that's not going to get you rest. There's only one person who gives you rest, and that's Jesus. Jesus said, come to me. You know what he's saying? You're a move. Come weary, come worn, come weak. I'll give you rest. So here's the closing thought. You don't have to wait for a tombstone to find rest. Come to Jesus and discover all that your soul is longing for. Amen? Just come to Jesus and discover all that your soul is longing for. Don't wait for a tombstone. Some of you today, the best thing you could do is go home and spend some time with your family. Some of you need to plan your week better, schedule some rest, and worship the Lord.
Thank you again for listening to this audio sermon. We pray that it has been a blessing to you. For more sermons or if you have any questions, log on to www.fbcbelong.com.